The view from the fire tower is spectacular in any season. You can see Lake Champlain to the east and the Adirondack High Peaks to the west. That same visual sweep displays a few human endeavors as well. The tailings pile and the center of mining operation. You can best see the mining industry remnants when the leaves are down. As the age of industry rolled in, what aspiring entrepreneur could resist the temptation to mine this rich countryside? The bloomery business was a major underpinning of the regional economy. As a cottage industry, it was perfectly suited to this area. Bloomeries reached their peak in 1846 with 48,000 tons of iron produced that year. And with the introduction of the blast furnace, the tonnage of iron mined took off. From 1870 to 1938, Witherby Sherman & Company and Port Henry Iron Ore Company were responsible for producing more than 31 million tons of iron ore, some of the best iron ore in the world. The numbers show just how significant Adirondack iron was to the world. At a typical Adirondack forge, 2,000 pounds of iron could be made from 4,000 pounds of ore and 5,400 pounds of charcoal with a day and a quarter manual labor. In contrast, even at the most sophisticated of bloomeries in Europe, it took three times as much ore, charcoal, and man-hours to produce the same amount of iron. This was the heyday for commercial mining, for the Hammonds, the Witherby, and Shermans who built large blast furnaces, brought in laborers, and made towns. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? But hindsight is 20/20. As mining progressed, hardwoods were disappearing into charcoal. The veins of ore were now deeper, requiring more time to reach them and more work to transport them to the surface and ship south. At the same time, Midwestern strip mining was experiencing a bonanza, and the iron was more economical to process because the iron was closer to the surface and near both coal and railroads. Of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Reverend Smith described what he saw here.
It seems to be of mushroom growth. The churches, houses, and public buildings are built anywhere and everywhere, back to back, sides to front, at all angles to the roads or streets, and with the carelessness of structures temporary. The experience of a decade has shown the villagers that at any moment it may become necessary to seek a living elsewhere, which has bred a constant disregard of solidity, comfort, and neatness. There is a grimness and roughness over the whole place, and not even the gorgeous summers of the mountain can hide them. The traveler, after drinking in the beauties of the view which it offers, a slip of Champlain and the mountains of Vermont in the distance, leaves it without regret, glad that the grade to Port Henry permits him to fly down the mountain within the hour.
All of the technological and financial achievement of fueling a hot blast came at a cost. Resources were not limitless. Ultimately, with dwindling forests and charcoal, anthracite coal had to be shipped north from Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Without additional expense and fluctuating market prices for iron, wages became unsteady for workers, and sometimes mines were temporarily shut down.